Welcome to Modcast, an official podcast of Politan Civilization site. Tony Keel.
John Archer.
Guest co-host.
Paul. Again. You know, we were just talking about home brewing beer.
Okay.
Yep. You mentioned you knew a recipe for some great home brew beer called Bishop's Finger. Now, see, that right there...
sounds naughty.
yeah, you know, it sounds like that Catholic schoolboy, you know, altar boy stuff, you know. Oh, be a good boy or you get the bishop's finger, you know?
you realize that that's a national trick. That's the best beers always have the nastiest sounding names so that the foreigners won't want to drink it.
Never.
And for foreigners, read Americans.
Well, we're pretty much foreign everywhere.
Yeah, we are. Or everyone else is just stupid and we're the best. Yeah, you ever thought of that? Huh? Oh, you're Canadian, aren't you?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I'm from Minnesota. Well,
okay, you're lucky. I was about to have to, you know, put you on my list of Canadians I don't like.
Is Dangle quick on that list, Tony?
It depends on how many times he sends back an episode that I've tried to publish. So, Tony, you got to take the Christopher Reeves joke out.
Okay, while we're at it, we should actually introduce our guest rather than just, you know, talk to him as if everyone knows who he is.
fine. Wah. Welcome to Modcast episode 30. Today we are joined with Kenneth Impaler WRG Ferland.
Howdy.
John BTOz Archer.
G'day, everyone.
Me, Tony Garrett Zakiel. Hello. With special guest co-host Paul Lutefisk Mafia back in.
And when you say it like that, it makes me feel pretty.
Oh, we're all pretty. We all reveal who we actually are on this show. Our real names, our fake names, whatnot. And then the stalking starts. People start following you in cars. You're like, why is that guy following me? He follows like 5 miles. And then you get like anonymous phone calls where someone's there and they hang up really quick. It's all me. I stalk my guests, keep them in line, make sure they don't talk no smack about the Modcast.
Okay, Tony, if you're done embarrassing our guests enough, yeah.
No, you should be afraid, very afraid. Today in the upcoming mods, we looked at the Mars Now mod by The J.
And today in the Artist Sketchpad, we were looking at Kruger Pritz's Modern Armor Pack for those lovely different tanks. And we were looking at Pencil God's Leaderhead of Pulton from Russia. Finally, we're looking at the Coyotes Project 71 Russian Light Carrier.
And today in the Modder Spotlight, we're going to look at the Dungeon Adventure mod by Lutefisk Mafia, a mod for Fall from Heaven 2.
Upcoming Modders, where we discuss a particular mod still in development.
Today, I found a mod that is coming out, and it is currently a work in progress, and the guy who did this mod PM'd me a while back for advice, this and that, and I said, well, I'll keep track of that, and then, of course, now he's getting some releases out. The mod is called Mars Now, and he is basically doing a mod where you terraform and colonize Mars, which is going to be a lot of fun looking at the screenshots. They look freaking awesome.
So it's like Smack on Mars?
Kind of, yeah. You know, and I asked him, was he a Kim Stanley Robinson fan? He said, never heard of him. And I was like, you have an anarchist symbol as your avatar. You're making a Mars game, and you've never heard of Kim Stanley Robinson.
Yeah, he needs to do some reading, because that would be really a nice lot of background for something like this.
Oh, yeah, and he's a freaking anarchist. The Mars books are all about anarchy.
Well, I wouldn't say that particularly just about anarchy, but, you know, there are themes of that in the book, yeah.
And then we've got all the units he's got. He's got some battle mechs and some tanks, and he's got, it's like some of my artwork in there, too. I see some of my dudes.
And some ginormous tanks that actually, like, sprawl out, you know, across two squares, and they're so big.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I always love it seeing a little bit of my own artwork in these. It makes me feel happy. But, yeah, that's good. And all these units look sci-fi to me, you know, hodgepodge of them. It looks like he's done a good terrain modification. He went and recolored all those terrain squares, which is really the best way to do terrain modifications, is to recolor them.
Yeah, I think they could use a little more work, though. I mean, like some of the screenshots, the tundra and ice pretty much look the same. There's still some flecks of green places where they maybe shouldn't be.
Yeah, the tundra needs to be recolored. The ice, I think, is okay. Maybe...
Yeah, I guess ice is always white, so, yeah.
Well, you can get some, I don't know, maybe some black on it, I don't know. But, yeah, and I also think that some of the lighter terrains are a little bit more orangey-yellow than red.
Mm.
Are you seeing?
He's also got a lot of different civics as well. A lot of them have been changed around.
Oh, it looks like he's got them all changed up. Not bad. That looks like, and he's got his icons already done. He's been a busy boy. And he's got, looks like, all kinds of different civilizations to pick. Quite interesting. I don't know how much of this artwork is homebrew. I'm assuming he did a little bit.
It all pretty much looks like things that I've seen before.
Yeah.
I think some of the icons probably are original, but most of the other stuff, the models for the units and the buildings, he's using those domes from, what's that mod?
Song of the Moon.
Yeah.
Song of the Moon, the aborted mod.
Well, no, actually, I think Song of the Moon got them from somewhere else, too. Weren't they actually, Firaxis made?
Nah, I think they cobbled them together.
Hey, Tony, I noticed, Tony.
Yeah.
He's got your name in for the credits, for units.
Oh, yeah, I'm in there a couple times. I get around, if you know what I mean. He's misspelled my name in one spot.
And did he give you $100 for your work?
He gave me more than that. He gave me his eternal gratitude, which is priceless. When I got home from helping, I took some of that eternal gratitude and got a couple pieces of bread and put some mayonnaise on the eternal gratitude and I had lunch.
Well,
and did you ever be with the lunch?
What's that? No, I had some liquid eternal gratitude with...
Oh, I thought you had a beer.
Well, that might be a beer, I don't know. But I think this looks awesome, because he's actually done something with it, and he's been a busy, busy, busy boy. We in the community appreciate this kind of presentation, you know?
You know, this also reminds me of, and actually a maniac down here is posted in Thread, and he's the one who does the Planetfall mod, which is a direct Smack clone. And
yeah,
this shares a lot of the elements of that. Because naturally, Smack was itself inspired partly by the Kim Stanley Robinson Mars trilogy. But so it's not surprising, because this is a colonization of Mars, and that's very much what inspired Smack, too. Those same novels, which he hasn't read. So.
Which he hasn't read? What the heck, dude? Okay. I'm going to post that we talked about your mod on the modcast on this thing. We talked... it's all caps. About your mod. Now let's do the all caps.
Artist Sketchpad, where we discuss graphics and artwork from the Civ modding community.
I have some delightful delights out of my goodie bag for all of you art fanatics out there. And the first one is from our good friend Kruger Pritz, who is releasing a Modern Armors pack, which apparently is going to be containing a whole bunch of tanks, like a Brazilian tank, a Korean tank, Italian, South African, Argentinian, and then even the
GDI.
Yeah, GDI Mammoth tank from...
That's my favorite.
Now, did he model that, or did he import that? I bet he modeled that.
It looks modeled to me. I don't see... Because in GDI games, or in the Command & Conquer games, those were sprite-based. There were no models to import from the original game.
Yeah, they do look like he modeled that in a Civ format. But they do have a new video game with Mammoth tanks.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's called Command and Conquer 3.
Oh, okay. I thought they went out of business, though.
I suppose in Command & Conquer 2. Yes, but someone, I think EA owns it now, of course.
Of course.
Giant gobbler of games. But these are sick. He's got them scaled good. If you look at the bottom right screenshot, it shows them all there. And what's even cooler is it's not a single unit artwork for this unit. He added a couple more dudes who just walk next to the tank with anti-tank rockets, which is, you know, I think rather realistic.
I'm sort of so-so on that. I mean, if people wanted to actually make a unit in their games that was like a combined tank infantry thing, that would kind of be interesting for a very specific, say, like a World War II mod, where you kind of wanted to represent at certain times how tanks and infantry would be very closely coupled together. But a lot of times in modern warfare, it's like the tanks are just running all over the place wherever they want to go. There's not much infantry. Infantry is really only used in cities and things like that.
So, yeah, it's more of a World War II thing with the guys all sitting on top of the tank as they haul ass.
Or around the tank. I think they do that more when they're in a city, so that the tank can be protected from possibly an infantry attack from, like, a very close building or something. But when a tank is out in the open, they don't have to have guys running next to the tank, you know, while it's in the desert. They just slow the tank down.
That's true. Well, I mean, of course, you know, that has to obviously be sensible. And, you know, also if you have guys all over the outside of your tank, sitting on your tank, that makes a little extra layer of armor.
Yeah, a little meat shield there for the tank.
meat shield.
Okay.
So, like, what was that dull, wet thug? Oh, the meat shield was working.
It's in a form of a blade of armor, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's so wrong.
Okay. Another thing, who's this red tank belong to? I mean, what country would paint its tank red? You know, it's like
it looks like some kind of like
China might.
Well, who's
China might paint their tanks red?
What am I?
To match the flag.
I was thinking of like a bad guy in a James Bond movie would.
Well, whose flag is that? That's next to the tank. Is that Jamaica? Jamaica doesn't have tanks. Nigeria?
Just one, and it's red.
Well, just as well it's not pink.
Yeah, I'm trying to see where is this red one? Maybe you know, I don't know why that tank is red. It would work good on a Mars mod, that's for sure.
Oh well, we'll have to ask Kruger Pritz who makes red tanks.
Yeah, Kruger. I'll just say I'll give him another modcast stink notice. We talked about this on modcast, and it's still all caps. I'm like, I'm yelling at these people. So, these look great, though. The red tank's a little weird. I love the mammoth tank. You know, it's kind of, it's hard, you start realizing, like, a lot of these modern tanks look very similar.
Yep, I mean, they pretty much perfected it down to, you know, like, what makes a good tank, you know. So, everyone's tank pretty much looks the same nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. Great. More goodies on the way, of course. We have a new version of our favorite Russian. Now, who's your favorite Russian, Ken?
I don't think I like any Russians.
Stalin?
Oh, see? More with the racism here. God, who do you like?
Himself.
Besides yourself.
Not much.
Well, we have a revised third version of Vladimir Putin. And, wow, this one, he caught the ugly that Putin truly has. You know what I'm saying?
He made Putin very sad looking. He's very unhappy.
Well, I'm not president for life anymore.
Nah, comrade.
President for life. Well, that's what he looks sad. Like he just got ousted from presidency and now he's the prime minister.
Who secretly still has all the power, you know?
Well, he's still prime minister for life, just not president for life. Yes, of course he's secret. We want Putin to have the power. He was in the KGB. He knows what's happening. He's in the know, you know? It's like President George Bush Sr. He was in the American KGB, the CIA director. So, and he was a great president, wasn't he?
No comment.
Awkward silence. All right.
Looks like he's got a little bit of a milk mustache.
Oh, well, does the body good.
You're right. His lip should be darker than the rest of his face because of the 5 o'clock shadow, but it's lighter.
Maybe the vodka bleached it or something.
The Moloko Plus.
Oh, I got a bit of an ache in my gulliver.
You know, and if you look into his eyes, you can see into his soul, too.
Yes, yes. And his eyes are really squinty, like, You know, the picture's not as squinty, but he's still a little bit squinty in that picture. And does it look to you like it was a face peel to get those textures on his face, or are those hand-painted?
No, those look painted to me.
Yeah. But that's good, because if he can catch a texture with painting, that's not bad, you know?
Yeah, I think the cheekbone might be need a little less emphasis.
Well, also, if this is not a face peel, then it's obviously a caricature, you know?
Yeah.
So more like how Civ Vanilla is with their leaders, you know, very cartoonish.
Hmm.
Faces are so hard to do, though.
Yeah. Well, they are. They are.
From the leader heads that I've seen, this one's pretty much spot on.
Yeah. Maybe the lips could be a little smaller, too.
Definitely recognizable.
Yeah. I don't know what he used to start. Yeah, actually, this one is not only by Ekmek. This obviously has a new texture and a new music file added by Pencil God.
Well, that's the guy who thinks he's a really good artist.
Yeah, because he said he messed with the eyebrows a little bit. He's the one who retextured the face. And okay, so we have two people. Let's see what Ekmek says. Let's see if Ekmek says anything. Awesome job. Saves me work going back to that one. Ah. Okay, Ekmek approves. So yes, this is a someone else touched up there, our favorite Putin.
Excellent, Ben. He will be the new default Putin for any scenario that needs a Putin.
And Pencil God seems to be some kind of chieftain, so we'll let him know.
Keep up the good work, Pencil God. He's pretty new. It looks like he's only got a couple posts under his belt so far, so maybe we'll see some more from him soon.
Yes, covered this on Modcast. Hopefully we'll see something more soon. And let's see, the last in our list of delicious, delicious pieces of artwork, which seems to be we're on still on the Russian trip. We're looking at Project 71, which is a Russian light aircraft carrier project, which I'm sure was abandoned and thrown into a big, large pile of rust.
Yeah, I actually read almost the entire thread about the Russian carrier here. And you're right, this thing was never actually made. This was designed, in World War II and never built
really?
By the Russians.
They didn't build a single one?
Apparently not. Apparently this type of design is said to be far too ambitious for the Russians to have actually afforded at the time. And then World War II happened, and they pretty much had to fight that all on land anyway, so they never went and built this.
Well, what I'm looking at here, it doesn't seem to. It looks like the airplanes come in right through the middle of the deck. There's no side elevator.
Yes, those two little squarey blobby things there, those look like elevators.
It looks like an airplane elevators.
Yeah,
you know?
Well.
And I don't seem to see any catapults either, so does these airplanes take off? This must be a really huge aircraft carrier to be able to take off on their own steam, you know?
Well, remember, these are World War II propeller-driven planes that would have been launched off these things. No aircraft carrier had catapults until the much larger jet fighters came around.
They were heavy. And
yes, much heavier, had to get to a higher speed in order to stay aloft.
Yeah, they don't like going slow, those jet fighters.
Yeah.
They don't like it at all.
So U.S. carriers at the same time would not have had launchy kind of things, the catapults.
Well, that explains a lot. This artwork has damage states, apparently. There's some beautiful charcoal stains on the deck itself, exhaust stains.
It's probably all oil spilt all over the deck.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that too.
No, that's probably the rubber, you know, the wheels, you know.
Skid marks from landing.
And if you look really close, there's a little tiny, tiny model of John Archer swabbing that deck.
Oh, bugger.
Spilled all the oil.
How did you know? It used to be my day job.
Yeah, and in the damage spots, in the damage model, there's a little red splatter where the model used to
be. Oh, no! Oh, no. John is dead. How does it feel to be dead?
I don't know.
Modding Spotlight, where we discuss and examine a particular mod out of the Civ 4 community.
So tell us a bit about yourself, Loot.
Yeah, what's your deal?
Well, it is Lutefisk, actually. And
Lutefisk,
the
okay.
Yep, the Lutefisk Mafia is a takeoff on the Norwegian Mafia. And for the uninitiated, Lutefisk is a national delicacy. It is codfish preserved in lye and reconstituted.
I will not eat.
No,
that.
No. Most people don't. It's something that people who came over from the old country, they were poor and it was all they could afford, and we now inflict it on our grandchildren and children at Christmas. Stuff like that. It's basically fish-flavored Jell-O.
It looks really, really foul. And I love Norwegian food, except for anything having to do with reconstituted, preserved Jell-O fish.
Yeah. Most, like lutefisk, like most Norwegian cuisine, is really just an excuse to eat butter anyway. So.
Well, you guys live under a cloud, so you might as well eat some, you know, fatty food.
It doesn't matter. You can't see what it looks like anyway, so.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's the story behind the name, and,
Well, it's 20 below outside. I guess you need the calories.
Yeah.
Wherever you can find them. Yep.
Now, where do you live again? You said, what?
Yeah, I live in a south suburb of the Twin Cities in Minnesota.
Now, what's the Twin Cities? Is that, what two cities is that? I never figured that out.
Minnesota and St. Paul.
Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Minneapolis.
Oh, okay, cool.
Everyone knows that, Tony. Blah.
Who the hell's that?
Seriously?
Oh, you know who comes from Minnesota? Jane Pauley.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Jane Pauley. I used to watch her on the Today Show. We used to have that like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Minneapolis, St. Paul, you mean?
I'm going back many years ago.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, did this. Today Show, that happens.
Yeah,
like
she used to say she was from that town.
Wow.
Yeah, from St. Paul. Yeah.
But what would be the point of that if it shows at like 3 o'clock in the morning in America?
Because they actually come out and did the Today Show live from my city at one time.
Yeah, that's true. They hate us, but they love us. What can they do?
Brian Gumbel.
Paul, what do you do in real life? Just to get over the mundane questions, what is your occupational?
Your day job.
Yeah, I am a small business attorney, transactional. I don't do litigation. And then I'm also an elected official.
Oh.
Ooh, you're like a mayor or something?
City council member. Oh. It's the good local stuff.
You're not related to Mayor Quimby, are you?
I deny that comment.
Awesome. You're our first elected official, I think.
Well, gosh golly, but it, you know, it's
you're a Democrat, right? Because if you're not, we'll have to throw you off. Drop him from the call.
Nonpartisan.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh.
It's a crazy Minnesota third party thing going, right?
No, not even that. It's I just don't affiliate with a political party. But I mean, without boring you with the details, kind of tried them both, didn't care for it. So I just kind of do my own thing.
If you tried them both, you didn't care for it, and you learned more than I'd say 80% of Americans.
Fair enough. But yeah, it's local municipal stuff. It's potholes, police, and parks,
which are important to fix. Like nothing like hitting a pothole at 50 miles an hour, to ruin your freaking soda pop all over your turn.
To fill in the cops and add more potholes to the streets and, wait a minute, no, other way around.
So it's less cops and more potholes.
Yeah, fill the cops. Oh, man. Or have the cops with jackhammers digging potholes in protests.
Oh, that'd be good to see.
All right. Now, why the hell are you on the show? You have a mod or something?
I do. Dungeon Adventure started way back as my sort of tilting at windmills attempt to do a mod for Fall From Heaven 2. And, love the mod, Fall From Heaven 2. Actually, I don't even play regular BTS anymore. I just spend all of my time playing Fall From Heaven 2. But the one thing that I thought was missing from that mod was an indoor, dungeon crawl kind of environment. So set out to do that. The whole Falutin mod turned out to have been a little bit, biting off a little bit more than I could chew. And real life had a tendency to interfere with my work.
As it always does.
As it always does. But, after a couple of iterations, Kale and gang put together the scenario option. And I thought, there's something smaller that I could maybe put something together. So did a new incarnation of Dungeon Adventure. Full name is Dungeon Adventure, the 133rd Crag. It's a Khazad themed scenario.
Dwarves. I love dwarves.
Follows the and the thing about dwarves is, why do they all sound Scottish?
That's just dwarves, man.
Sometimes they can be Irish too.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
You know, but it's just the alcoholism.
Or drunkards.
Dwarves, they have alcoholism problems, and you know, somehow that makes them Scottish or Irish. I don't know. That just sounds incredibly racist.
Yes, that's yes. All but the dwarves.
Does it count as racism?
And for all those dwarves out there listening, you know who you are.
Yeah. Well, well, Scottish people and me are white, so maybe it's like, you know, hood talk. You know, what's up, my G? You know.
But does it really count as racism if it's a fictional race?
Fictional race. Well, I think there's actually dwarves in the world, so it's not fictional.
No, I meant Khazad.
Well,
I remember hearing a...
I bet Kale will be offended, so...
Having said that, I'm sure that there's at least one person who answered Khazad on the last U.S. Census, so yeah, we should probably be safe.
I remember hearing a theory that said that the legend of dwarves was actually created when Norse Vikings went all the way down into the Mediterranean and actually reached, essentially, the Middle East, and saw Persians, who were a lot smaller than they were, because these were like giant Vikings, and they knew how to make really, really good steel, and thus Legend of Dwarves got started.
All right, all comments on this show are not representative of Balton Civilization Society, and all belong to Kenneth Furland, who lives in Tucson, Arizona. Area code 520-555-0357. Did you make a new map script for this mod, or is it just a scenario-driven when you got a couple maps for it? How does it work?
Well, it's got a world builder save, and the premise of the scenario is that it follows a Khazad guard named Gorum, who catastrophically screws up in his duties, and instead of being exiled from his clan, the leader, Lord Khandrosfer, gives him a chance to redeem himself by drafting him into the 133rd Crag. And the Crag stands for Khazad Resource Acquisition Group. And the story takes place in the early days of the Khazad exodus to the surface. So it kind of ties in with the established lore and deals with an area that hasn't really been fleshed out in the game a whole lot. So at this time, the Khazad still have some residual holdings in Underholm, but they're just starting to explore and colonize the surface. So this guy gets used, the character that you're playing, gets used as cannon fodder for a series of missions. Starts out inside the access area to the surface, which is, because I couldn't think of anything original, it's just called Shaft X. He runs around in there, talks to some of the different non-player characters that come in handy later, and eventually leaves that Shaft X, goes out onto a world map, and does a mission, rescues a survey party, comes back to Shaft X, goes inside, and then the second mission is also implemented, which is exploring a random dungeon and rescuing a couple of characters.
So you did make a map script for the dungeon.
Oh, yeah. For the dungeon, and the other thing that's a little bit new, I don't think anybody else has done this, but the whole map switches out dynamically. So it's the whole game takes place on a 20 by 20 dual-sized map, but when you're in Shaft X, it's just the internal caves and caverns. When you get to a certain point, hit a warning post, it pops up a customized event that then switches out the entire map to the over map, the world map, and you can travel on that, and there are certain points where different events will trigger and either take you back into Shaft X, which switches out the whole map again, or will put you into the randomized dungeons.
That reminds me of Heroes of Might and Magic, where you could go into the underworld.
Yeah. Is that a persistent thing? Is that persistent?
I haven't been able to make it persistent yet. So the Shaft X is persistent. The overmap, some of it's persistent. The randomized dungeons... I've been struggling and wrestling with this whole pickling thing.
That's programming.
In order to make, and I've kind of figured out a way that it could be done, but I didn't have time to mess around with it for the scenario contest. So it didn't get in because it wasn't in the time budget. The only part that's missing to make persistent maps is being able to pickle that data and then load it back up again, because I've already got a mechanism coded that scans the whole map and replaces things and wipes them clean.
Now, can you get into the DLL to do any modding, or are you limited to Python here? Because, do you know the C++ to do it, is what I mean.
We weren't able to do that for the scenario contest. It was pretty limited. We were able to get into scenario functions, PY, the random events, and event triggers, and the text files. That's all we could touch. So that it presented kind of a challenge, because there are a number of things that I would have liked to have done in the regular event manager, on unit move to do traps and stuff like that. But, that was off limits, so I had to figure a workaround.
Wow. So, you're coming very close to one of the biggest limitations of Civ 4, which is no ability to dual load maps or have two separate maps. And I know that my good friend Dale, when we were working on Beyond the Sword, Road to War content, he wanted to have dual maps. He wanted the Europe map and the Pacific map both in the same game, instead of just, being an entire world where half of it's not in the war,
Oh, sure. Totally a way to do it. I can think of like two or three different ways to make that work. But for dynamically switching out maps, the only thing that somebody who's a lot smarter than me needs to figure out is how to save that data to a script and then load it back up again.
Well, my thought would actually be in the DLL, you could go in and say whether there's basically a big array of all the little cells that hold the map. If you could just have two cells be stored, one that's considered the up and one that's the down, and then, you just have some kind of high-level Boolean switch that would just say, are we looking at the top or the bottom layer? And then it would keep everything in the game at the same time. Probably a little more complicated than that, but
yeah.
It could be done in the DLL, and you could just keep all the data in the game without actually having to change anything.
Or pickle anything.
Versus pickling. Python, you're actually literally changing the data and keeping it outside of the DLL in a Python script.
You'd essentially have half of the cells that were active, but they just weren't being viewed.
And whenever it tried to access, hey, what's in the cell, it's like it would first go through a switch, go to the top, or go to the bottom one. And that would give you two layers, or presumably as many layers as you wanted to have. The limitation would still be that both maps had to be exactly the same size, which is not exactly what Dale wanted. Dale wanted to have independent, essentially, maps within the same game.
Yes.
Like different sizes and everything. But you probably wouldn't need to have that ability.
Yeah, that gets tougher to do, but, you could at the very least, just start with the biggest map you'd need as a template, and then put filler cells in around the stuff you're not using on the small ones.
Yeah. You know what? If you actually develop this Lutefisk for your mod, you should probably just release some generic code as a separate module, just so other modders might be able to utilize this great idea you had.
I did do a little bit of that with the original Dungeon Adventure mod when it became clear that I wasn't going to be able to see it through. I released little code chunks. One of them was a 360 camera. There were a few others, too. I don't know. I think the 360 camera might have made it into Final Heaven 2.
Hmm.
But, there are a few others. But, yeah, I could definitely do that.
Now, Loot, I'm wondering, now, have you got random monsters and treasures in your mod?
I do. The second mission is Gorum.
It wouldn't be much of a dungeon crawl without random monsters and treasure. Now
it really wouldn't. And what I was shooting for is kind of a dungeon hack feel.
Yep.
Or if you're back in the day we called it an Ang Band.
Right.
I don't know if that. Yeah. Okay. But
a bit like Eye of the Beholder.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are treasure chests that might be trapped. Might not be trapped.
Ooh,
they can have a variety of things in them. The monsters get generated sort of according to the level of the dungeon you're on. So on level one, it's going to be little wimpy stuff, goblins and slave units. The deeper you go, more powerful units get added to the array.
Diablo-esque.
Indeed. And there's I also implemented a different sort of magic system because the whole scenario, you never have a city, which makes it a little bit difficult to do the mana promotions for the magic units. So instead of doing that or having some type of weird shadow city that was in the background, I put together a series of scripted events where, in addition to treasure chests, there are mana crystals of the various flavors that show up on the map. And if you are a magic-using unit, if you run over that pile of mana crystals, you have a variety of choices. You can either add those crystals to your repertoire, and you then get the promotion. And the lowest-level magic users can have up to six different mana promotions. So you could have, you know, up to death three and something two and one of another, or six different spheres of level one. You know, it's kind of like a pick-a-mix.
Oh.
And, you can choose which promotions you want just by picking up the correct crystals. And it, it meshes pretty well with the established spell system in Fall from Heaven, because that's another thing we couldn't touch, is to change the actual spells themselves. So I had to figure out a way to make most of those spells somewhat useful in a dungeon setting, and that was a pretty good mix. And, you have other options, too. You can just crush the crystals into an industrial grit and sell them for 25 gold pieces. You can leave them there. If you've got meta magic and the dispel magic spell, or if you happen to come across a raw mana node and you're a magic user, you can tune it to whatever resonance you want. So you can choose what type of mana it will be and then pick it up. And then I had to put in some type of reset option. So there is one guy back at Shaft X where if you want to, he'll buy all of your mana crystals, and that resets you back to zero, and you can go back and put together a different collection.
Oh, quite interesting. Now, what happens if your dude dies? Is there, like, a Shadow City you can respawn him at or something?
Not yet. That's something I'm going to add, because in my own playtesting, you know, you get 250 turns in and you die and it's just over. And if you forgot to make a backup, that really sucks. So I'm planning on doing reborn at Shaft X, but you're stripped of experience and a lot of your goodies. So it's kind of a freebie, but it sets you back a little bit. That'll get in there. It's not in there yet for the contest entry. But the other thing is that I track player characters by giving them the hero promotion.
Oh.
So when you move from map to map, it's only the hero units that you control that go with you. So and you can if you rescue certain of the prisoners, they show up back at Shaft X hanging around, and you can talk to them, and they usually give you an option for a special magic item, or, for example, the first guy you rescue, he's a kind of a supply wagon dude. He hangs out by the merchant, and if you talk to him, he gives you the opportunity to hire a medical support wagon. So that's a hero unit that really does nothing except follow you around, and if you need to, it casts heal and cure disease.
Nice.
Now,
this contest you keep talking about, has this happened yet, or are you entering for it?
Well, it's the entries are in. The cutoff date was the 16th, and I presume that the Fall from Heaven team is they said they were going to play with them over the weekend and make their decision. So we'll see how that goes.
Wow, good luck with that, bro. You deserve to win after what you told us today.
Maybe we can interview Kale, and he can maybe go over the results, and he can, say, oh, well, we like this, and, we announce the winner live on our show. Woo.
All right, Kale, you heard it. You just hit me a PM, and if you want to do it, Kale, I know he listens. I know he listens. He's one of our four listeners.
Oh, I had one other suggestion for your mod. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the underground walls and these things, and it actually occurred to me. Those are icebergs turned gray and shot up on the Z-axis to become as tall as walls.
I was very pleased. I took a break from modding for a while.
It does look like stone.
Came back and saw that... that the walls I had made for my Dungeon Adventure mod had been incorporated into mainstream Fall from Heaven 2. And you are correct, sir. Those are heavily distorted, re-skinned icebergs.
Well, if I'm a dwarf, I should be able to dig through them.
You actually can in my mod.
Oh, excellent.
Or in my scenario. You can buy something called a golden hammer. That's the repurposed golden hammer from regular vanilla Fall from Heaven 2.
Should it be a pick?
It gives you the weapons promotion, but if you end up next to a wall section that has gold ore in it, you can expend your golden hammer to dig through the wall and get at that ore.
Oh. Does it remove the wall? I mean, I was meant, could it remove it as an obstacle so I can just pass through the map by a different route?
Yes, it removes the wall.
Yeah. Slick.
Are there any secret passages in the walls?
It wouldn't be a dungeon if there weren't secret passages. So yes, and that brings up an interesting topic, because there were so many things in the code that we couldn't touch that I had to figure out a way to make traps and to make secret doors. And the way I accomplished that was to create great engineer and great commander barbarian units that had the held and invisible promotions so that you couldn't see them during the regular game, and then added some on-turn-end script where if you happened to be standing right next to a wall unit that had a what I called a secret door helper, or standing on top of a trap unit, it would trigger some further code to either reveal the secret door or trigger the trap.
Ooh.
Mm. But only if your detection skill was high or something, right? Or you were a thief or something. Only thieves can detect traps and stuff like that, right?
Elves can, too.
Yeah, and that's...
Because all elves are dirty thieves.
Hey, that's racist.
Yes, but we definitely know elves don't exist, so it's cool.
What? I thought you were a freaking elf, dude. Have you looked in the mirror, man? You're pretty elfin.
You mean you might be a gay elf?
Well, I'm not going to go that far, but... It's definitely on the table.
I think gay elves are a protected class. So be careful, dude.
Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at The Polycast or email us at polycast@apolitan.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast,
Revcast,
or Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at polycast.apolitan.net.
I say this every time. We probably had too much fun. I'm pretty sure half of what we just recorded is going to have to be edited out, because no sane person would want to listen to it.
Well, four people will.
I think we'll keep our four listeners. I know that Kale, by the way, just threw us props in our open call for Modcast guest thread. Thank you, Kale. And hopefully we're going to have a crapload more guests come on the show, because now all you have to do is go to Apolitan, CFC, Creation Customization, or the Fall from Heaven Creation Customization. There's a thread there. Post there if you have a mod or you've done work and you want to come on the show. We don't care if you're a newbie. We don't care if you're old school and have enemies and everyone hates you. We just want you to have a mod. Come on the show. Bring a mod.
And it doesn't matter what sort of mod it is, as long as it's a mod.
No, it doesn't. And it has to be original work. Like, if you are, you know, using other people's artworks and then just putting it into, a mod, and there's no original work involved, it's just like hodgepodge, typically don't cover those. But if you've done some work, like created a put together XML for a mod, or done a map, or, you know... Anything where you worked and did something original, come on the show. Especially code. We need more code for the show. So, a lot of fun to be had, you know. Our good friend Paul here, he's only mildly traumatized.
I've been through worse. Had a great time.
Yeah, I'm glad. We were glad to have you. So, without further ado, today we have been joined with Kenneth, Impaler WRG Ferlin.
Bye-bye.
John, VZOz Archer.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Me, Tony Garris, is on Kiel. Goodbye. With special guest co-host, Paul Ludifus Mafia Backend.
Thanks for having me. I had a lot of fun.
Oh, we loved it. It was a great episode. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
record date, March 22nd, 2009. Sound clips copyright Civilization IV and the Warlords and Beyond the Sword expansion packs. Copyright 2009, Appalachian Civilization site at appalachian.net.